People listen more when they like what they're hearing. It's a well-studied fact that facts don't speak for themselves. This is especially apparent with climate change. Some brilliant studies in the past 10 years have shown that people respond to narratives about climate change, not raw facts. I'm speaking to Jamie Freestone, PhD student in literature at the University of Queensland, and we're talking about conservative climate contrarians. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Okay, conservative climate contrarians, is there a archetype or are they sort of a mixed bunch? And if there are various types, would you like to go through them and the rationale for them holding their positions?
Yeah, look, there are various types. If you really drill down into it, you can sort of find different kinds of climate change deniers who deny for all different reasons. But part of the reason that I'm talking about conservative climate contrarians in particular is that if you were to sort of say you've got a climate change denier behind door number one and you had to try and bet money on knowing something else about them, it just turns out that the safest bet is that they're a political conservative. That's a much stronger bet than guessing about their level of educational attainment or whether they live in a urban or rural area or whether they're male or female or anything like that. It just seems to be that political conservatism, specifically being a kind of economic political conservative, is the strongest predictor of someone being a climate change denier. And so that seems to have some kind of relationship to the fact that if you're a economic conservative, you're very interested in the strength of the economy. Maybe that's the most important thing according to your political identity. And if climate change, or maybe more accurately doing things about climate change, trying to mitigate it, if that threatens in any way your sense of the stable economy, then you're likely to maybe ignore that information and instead go for climate change denial. So there are different subtypes, but I think just at this stage, with campaigns and so forth, I reckon the most effective thing is to just focus on these political conservatives who are more interested in the economy than the environment.
How does that fit in with the fact that, say, for instance, that governments heavily subsidise fossil fuel industry? How do they react to that, intervening in the market, if you like, which really isn't a free enterprise thing?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think part of the issue is that, you know, most people don't have a perfectly consistent set of views. You know, not everyone has kind of worked out their ideology exactly. And so, of course, you can find contradictions where even someone who's, you know, apparently a political or economic conservative will actually not mind things that on paper should go against their views, like the issue of basically doing corporate welfare there with the big fossil fuel companies. But again, if that's something that sort of if they thought about it too much, maybe that would rock the boat a little bit and sort of disturb their political identity. So I think most people tend to just filter out things that pose any chance of a contradiction.
How does one approach these people, given that you state that ordinary everyday climate campaigning hasn't made much of a dent in these people's opinions?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'm not saying we should shut down the standard ways of communicating climate change or anything like that, but just in addition to what's already been done, I think you can specifically target these kinds of people with the exact same facts about climate change and the risks that are posed, except you just package it in a kind of narrative that appeals to people of a conservative bent. And that can be really minor tweaks to a message. So it could be something as simple as instead of talking about, you know, the effect that climate change will have on future generations, you just change that phrase future generation to grandkids or grandchildren. It's a very minor thing, but sort of some research that suggests the idea of future generations is a very abstract concept. It's kind of hard to connect to emotionally. It's something that maybe liberals and progressives care about, but maybe conservatives don't resonate with that idea as much, but they certainly do care about their own grandkids and their own grandchildren. So if you just change the language slightly, still communicating the exact same message, but it's in a way that just taps into the personal identity of a conservative rather than someone who's maybe more progressive. So that's a really simple example, but there are many other ways that you can construct narratives that communicate the same info, but just in a way that appeals to a certain audience's identity.
If, for instance, someone's grandparents' parents were in a nursing home during a heat wave or something, you could say, you know, they just made it through or something like that.
Right, you mean sort of making it sort of closer to home by talking about someone that they're personally attached to.
Addressing close personal members of high risk groups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's definitely one of the strategies that could be used. Yeah, and there are other things you can do as well. You know, one of the things I suggest in the article I just published is that because, you know, conservative people are often very interested in the strength of the economy, you can use that to your advantage as a climate change campaigner by talking about the impact on the economy of climate change. Because, again, sort of, you know, by rights, someone interested in the economy should actually be very motivated to act on climate change, because even if they're worried that investment in green energy or a tax on carbon or anything like that, if they are worried that that will in some way harm the economy, well, that's nothing as compared to the risk to the economy of catastrophic climate change. And so, again, you can talk about the exact same information about how real climate change is, but just emphasize effects that will appeal to that kind of person.
One of the things that occurs to me is, I think, something that I recall from the United States about libertarian conservatives who are sort of anti-big government and things like that. And one way of getting through to them is saying, look, you know, why are you coughing up all this money to a large power company when you could have solar panels on your roof? And that's a sort of a touchstone for getting through to them, that they will be taking control of their life back towards them, and they're not sort of tied to something like a large power company.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Again, I guess the exact same principle is that if someone is interested in decentralized government, they should be a fan of decentralized power. And so, yeah, to appeal to that particularly libertarian conservative audience, something like, you know, that future idea of energy generation that gets away from these monolithic companies centrally producing it is another great message. And I think that's the exact kind of thing that we should be working on.
You start talking about some solutions that they might put forward, and mention geoengineering. Not sure what is behind that.
Well, that is a controversial one. I'm not sure if you're familiar with some of the geoengineering options that have been put forward to try and mitigate climate change. But, you know, some engineers have talked about actually sort of intervening in the environment through large-scale engineering projects, things like devices that would release water vapor into the atmosphere to try and alter the level of heat entering the Earth through the sun's rays, things like that. Now, these are considered like science fiction fantasy by some people, and by others they're thought of as a kind of last ditch option that we should try and pursue, because we need to sort of act fast and do whatever we can to ameliorate climate change. Now, regardless of what view you take on that, the research suggests that if you put forward geoengineering as an option to some of these conservative deniers, they're more likely to change their views and accept that climate change is real. And so that's, you know, some people disagree with my views here, but I think that it's worth putting forward a message about the possibilities of geoengineering. If it gets a whole bunch of people who otherwise don't even believe climate change is happening at all, if it gets them to change their views, even if geoengineering turns out not to be the option that we want to do, it's still worth using as a draw card to at least bring people around to the reality of the situation. But I can understand why that's considered controversial by some people.
Is there a link between conservative contrarians and conspiracy theories, which I've seen pop up on a few occasions?
Yeah, there is. There are a couple of researchers who have drawn that link. They've looked at the sort of conspiracy theory aspect of climate denial, and some of them have also linked it to, you know, the rising popularity of anti-vaccination movements and things like that. There seems to be a bit of a similar motivation there, where people are assuming that there's a shadowy group of powerful people who are controlling the world and are manipulating us in some way. And for climate change deniers, that takes the form of environmentalists and climate researchers, who apparently for them represent the real power brokers in the world. I mean, obviously, I find that kind of view particularly ironic, because the real power brokers are, you know, large corporations who really do have the resources to direct public opinion, and sadly often do so. But yeah, I think there is a conspiracy theory element to some of these contrarians' views, definitely.